Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
Mind.
live studio audience that is listening from all over the world. A special hello today to Canada, to a good friend of mine, Sharon, who contacted us, who's enjoying our program up there. We want to say hello to you. We want to say hello to Manila, Philippines, and the pastor's wife and her group that are doing their Bible study alongside of us. Let's open in prayer tonight. We have a special guest with us this evening. Lord, we pray that you would be with us today. We thank you for all the women and the men that are listening across the world right now, whatever time it is of day or night, whatever season you have in their life. We just pray that you would bless us, help us to be able to feel your presence tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, last month we did a mentorship planning retreat, and Layla Stettner was with us, and she shared a story that I would love her to share today, especially since there's so many people in our live audience who are familiar with or friends of or family of a man who was one of my dad's closest friends named Bob Portliver. So Layla Stettner is with us this evening. She was my teacher in sixth grade, again in eighth grade. She was superintendent of Marysville Christian Academy, which was a school that my dad and uncle started several years ago and I graduated from. And then her and her husband were my youth pastors growing up. So she's been very inspirational, very instrumental in the ministry that God has given me in my life. And so I would like you to help me welcome Mrs. Layla Stettner.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here, Tammy.
We're excited you're here.
Yeah. And you know what I really love? I love your son's hugs.
He only hugs people as long as me and you. I mean, everybody else, it's a very short hug for my son, if you can even grab him. He hugs. Does he hug you, Karen?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he
loves
the lady down the stairs.
He hugs Layla. Maybe the only other person he hugs that long is me.
I just love him.
He just falls asleep right there in your neck.
He does.
He does.
Is that Bailey.
Layla. Yeah.
And you know what? And that's what I wanted to talk to you about tonight was how much we should love each other. And loving each other is part of what being a mentor is. And in Titus 2:11, it says, he, meaning Jesus, gave himself to us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a special people eager to do his good works. Just think that God, Jesus Christ, wants you to be very special to him. And that's why mentoring is so important. And we can call it by different names. We can call it loving people, caring for them, taking that extra step to pray for someone. You do not have to be in the same room with them. I love my husband, Bailey, but I pray for Bailey, and he lives across the sound from me. So God hears. Jesus is goodness and love. Goodness and love appeared from God our Savior. He saved us. And it is not anything to do with our works. We can love people, care for them, clean their house. We can do kind things, say kind things. It has nothing to do with our salvation. And so it is an outcome of the love of God in our hearts. So I'm really praying that we make some good choices in our lives. And I want to give you two examples of mentoring or caring for someone. So I was a nanny, and I was just in eighth grade. And I lived with this family. Their name was Arthur and Pearl, and they had a family with tons of children. And I was going to school to learn English. And so I would come home and cook and clean and take care of the babies and change diapers and do all that wonderful stuff, and I was really loving it. And so I said, can I go to that little church down the street, the one white one with the big cross on it? And they went, no, you are here to take care of our children. Mop those floors. Okay. So the seven children became my friends. I cooked. I cleaned. I loved them. And then there was the day when their daughter didn't like what I had done. The clothes were not ironed properly. And she took an iron, and she said, you're not a good nanny. And she went like this towards my face. And I was so shocked, I didn't know what to do. I walked out the back door and walked to that church, and I said, help. I need help. In my broken English. They immediately called Denny Youth Center in Seattle, Washington, and said, get the police here. This is a runaway. So this is an example of mentoring and loving. So even good church people can incorrectly mentor or love. That's why we need the true love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. So in that situation, I didn't learn about the true love of Christ. It came into my life later. And so my other story is also a true story about fall. So my husband Daniel and I were in Chelan, Washington, at the Cruzy Brothers Crusade, and he was playing guitar, and then he played, let's see, what else did he play? Oh, yeah, he played with Kawanda, that wonderful instrument. Ba bom bom bom. And it was great. We had a great time. Crusade was over. We had prayed with many people, and I was so tired I couldn't move. So he said, let's go to Quincy. You can stay with one of my sisters and relax. We went to Quincy the next morning. I collapsed. He rushed me to a nearby hospital. They took blood from me. And the nurse that was standing there was a family friend. And she prayed out loud for me. And I went, oh, that's so sweet. A stranger. She's loving a stranger. And they sent me to the major hospital with cancer. Cells running rampant in my body. And so I went to the cancer center. And there the wonderful doctor said to me, you have about 5 months to live because you have melanoma of bone marrow. Do you have a donor? And I went, no, but I can pray. And then the tears came and he looked at me. Okay, he said, you can pray. You need a donor. He said, we'll try through California. And I said, well, can I please go home? I live close to Seattle. So he said, fine. You cannot be with people because you can die from getting common cold. Oh, okay. So he gave me names of doctors to go to and so forth. And I came home. And the extreme sadness and extreme loneliness hit my heart because this was a situation that I didn't know how to handle. So to the best of my ability, I got on my knees and I began to pray. Call on God. And God is so good. I have wonderful church. People from the church began to call me and love me and to talk to me. And one of the people was my friend Bob, who was always a greeter at the door. And Bob said, well, I just called to pray for you. Okay. So we began to pray. And I said, you know what? We should probably pray tomorrow, too. He goes, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do it. So we set a date and time, and we prayed 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. So some of you that are in this room and maybe in the audience, you are recipient of our prayers because we decided we need to pray for our family. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our children. Well, I had little ones, and Bob already had great grandchildren. And so we began to pray for all of these people, naming them by name, taking them to the Lord. Okay, he had a large family, so whew, we were really busy praying. And I wanted to tell you about Bob's story. His wife, a sweet little Dorothy, you know, she would go to church, Bob would stay home. She would go to church, Bob would stay home. And there was a pastor in that church. You may know a Pastor Johnny. He would say, hello, Bob, I didn't see you at church today. Oh, well, thank you for calling. Well, you are welcome anytime. Years went by, and then one day Bob said, Dorothy, think I'll go to church with you. He gave his heart to the Lord, And he was a changed man. He began to just smile and ooze God's love. You know, it was wonderful to come to church because there was Bob with his hand out saying, God bless you today. And this is the Bob I knew. I knew this Bob who truly loved the Lord. And so as we prayed, other people began to call us. And so now we were praying about 5 hours a day. And my husband said, the telephone bill is a little big, isn't it? And I said, well, I said, what can we do? So people were calling to pray for me. I began to pray for them. Bob was doing the same thing. We didn't know that later on in the years there would be this famous program called mentoring. We were just loving people. So you, maybe you are already doing this, and if you're not, come and join our mentoring group, women. It says that God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, in Ephesians 6:10. So we were called to serve, and we became strong in the Lord. We believed in God's word, and we would find it in the Bible and say, this is what God's word says. This is what we believe. And that became our stronghold, our solid bottom that we stood on, the cornerstone. There was no moving us from this. Somebody would say, well, God can't heal you. Never heard of anybody healing you. Yeah, but God's word says that we ask him, he hastens to answer before we even ask. Oh, it says that? Yes, it does. I really want to tell each one of you that you need to search the word of God for answers and to talk to him. It is important. He loves to hear from you. That scripture that I read, special people. You are his special people. He loves you and wants you to be part of his life and what is going on in this world. He says, stand firm to face the attacks. And we did. We faced losing our lives. And were we equipped for this victory? No. But the word of God equipped us. So I began to learn from Bob humility and gentleness. He was loving and walking the word of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was no changing him. There was not saying maybe. It was the truth. And we became to the conclusion that if you are being tossed like a child in every wind of teaching, speak the truth in love. Say, I'm hurting. This happened to me. I'm hurting. Help me. This is what we are here. We are sisters in Christ. We're here for each other so that we can be on the solid rock and grow in every way in Christ. You see, we fit together like a puzzle. And every piece of it has origin in the word of God. So I'm saying to you, radio audience, and you here, you have given your heart to Jesus Christ. I am so delighted. But have you made Jesus the Lord of your life?
Right.
Is he the one that you're looking for? If you have some sins that you need to ask for forgiveness, hasten to your knees and ask God. Bob and I, with my little tiny ones, I was on my knees till, well, they might have had little calluses. And so was he. So the very basic way to give your heart to the Lord is to accept that he is Jesus Christ who came, specific person, to die for your sins, and to believe with all of your heart that he will save you. And then to choose him. God, Jesus Christ, I choose you. Above all gods, you're greater than any god. Come into my life. I will walk with you. And Jesus will say, I will stick to you closer than a brother. Because that's what the word says. And he will accept you. So set aside any bitterness or anger. Set aside any shouting, any slander. be kind to each other, compassionate and forgiving, just as Jesus Christ has taught us. So because the Word of God said all these wonderful things we were learning, and we were becoming so strong in God, I once came upon this scripture. And it said, call on the elders of the church, and they will come and pray for you, and God will hear their prayers, and you will be healed. I'm going, whoa, where's my church been? They haven't been here to anoint me. I said, Daniel, husband, you talk to pastors. Okay, he said, I shall. And the pastor said they would come the next weekend. So they came, and but before they got there, I prayed every day. Bob prayed every day. And they were coming Sunday after church. So Saturday, I had a dream. And in that dream, the Lord said to me, put two chairs out on your deck, because the pastor will not come in your house because they don't want to infect you, or they pray for you. Okay. You know, I'm not into those kind of dreams and things, so I said, okay, God, this has got to be from you. So Dan helped and put two chairs out there, and Sunday came. I was anxiously awaiting to see what would really happen. And as Sunday came, Pastor Billy Cruzy came to the door, slid it open, put one foot inside but did not step in, and he said, Layla, would you have Dan assist you to come outside on the deck? And my heart went, oh, yes! Oh, yes, this is God! And here comes Daniel, and he helped me outside, and there were two chairs there, so there were, I guess I can't name the people. There were two elders, two pastors, and my husband, and myself. And so I got anointed in oil, just like the word says. And they came around. Pastor Billy was in front of me. He put his hand on my knee because he was kneeling. And Bob was right here. Bob, you see, was an elder.
Elder.
Okay. And I mean, he was like everything. And they began to pray. And Pastor Billy says, just a minute. Bob, since you are here too and need healing, would you sit next to Layla and we'll pray for you at the same time? That was what the Lord had showed me. I was so delighted. I knew God was going to heal us. I didn't have to swoon, fall out of the chair, nothing, because it was God. God was going to touch us. And yes, he did. I went to the hospital afterwards to have many times up to 20 vials of blood. And they kept saying, we don't know what has happened. And finally, I said to them after months, I said, okay, could we come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ has healed me? And they went, well. And I said, well, you don't need to agree with me, but could we come to that conclusion? This is a miracle. And they said, okay, I guess we can think about that.
How do I bill insurance for that?
Yeah, that's exactly it. What do we do with the insurance? And I said, I don't care what you say for the insurance, as long as you believe. Well, we see the evidence, they said.
Yeah.
So, woo-hoo! So then, did Bob go to, amen, so did Bob go to his doctor? Yes, he did. He had cancerous tumors inside of his stomach to the point where it was protruding. His liver was not working very well anymore. He didn't have very long to live. And the doctor said, well, we need to take more x-rays. We need to take more this test and that test and blood test. And they came to the conclusion, this is so marvelous, there's only two spots on, oh, yes, the doctor said, I will operate and take those out. And Paul says, oh, no. My God has taken all of those tumors. He has healed me. If there are two little spots, he will take care of that too. And later on, the doctor said, I would like to tell your congregation what has happened. He wanted to testify about God because he was not a believer, but he believed what was in front of him. And miracles happen to those who believe.
And I'm just
challenging each one of you that were we anything different, anything more wonderful than any one of you or the radio audience, my friend Linda in Australia, my cousins in Sweden? No. We are all God's beloved. He chooses us. So I challenge you to choose him and to live in your own miracles of walking with him.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe. And we want to thank our floor director, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.